Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tramp. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group and CA in Zuchus of Rivka Bela Bas Nechama Shifra and in honor of Rabbi Tramp. In today's learning, we're going to be looking at the laws of Lashon Hara, evil speech, and revenge. This is Siman Lamed, the 30th chapter in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Our Siman is 9 Seifim long, 9 paragraphs long. And we're going to look at two basic concepts. One is Lashon Hara, evil speech, and number two is revenge. That's going to take the last part of what we're learning today. It's worthwhile noting that although we're looking at this in the Kitzur as a summary, remember that books have been written on this topic itself. So most notably, the Chofetz Chaim is a book of the Halachas of Lashon Hara. Shmiras HaLashon is about the spiritual underpinnings and ideas behind this, the Musar related to this. It's worthwhile taking a look if you have a chance to look at Daniel Feldman's book called False Facts and True Rumors, which is an excellent rendition of the halachas of Lashon Hara as it applies to some of the more common and pervasive aspects of Lashon Hara today's digital society and with the technology that we have to deal with today. Very excellent book. So just to understand, there's a lot that has to deal with us. It's worthwhile just starting off by the observation made by Rabbi Yirmiya Bar Abba that there's four groups that do not receive the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And of those groups, they are Leitzim, those are scoffers, people who are satire. Some people make their entire profession based on this. Chanefim, those are flatterers, Shakronim, liars, and Mesaprei, Lashon Hara, those who tell Lashon Hara. So it's a very serious group of people. It's something living not by the way that Hashem wants us to live our lives. And we're going to look at some of the halachas that relate to this. In the Lashon Hara section, which is the first section, we have 17 questions. This is the predominant amount of our learning today. First question is, am I allowed just to repeat what others did or things I saw, what I heard about other people, even if it's not negative? So the answer is no. This is called rechilus. This is called a peddler of facts. A rochel is a peddler, a person who peddles facts. That's how they operate, a gossip. That is not allowed. What happens if it isn't negative? So I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying what happened. This is still called rechilus. What is not meant to spend one's life talking about other people. What happened? Why is it so bad? So the Torah tells us, "Lo yaseleh rochel al mecha, lo yisamo ad adam reecha." Hashem says, "Don't be a talebearer among your people, and do not stand idly by the blood of your friend." That means to say that the pasuk is juxtaposing the concepts that if a person starts off by being a gossip, it can lead to murder. And in fact, this is exemplified in Tanakh, where Shaul HaMelech is trying to find out why David HaMelech keeps escaping him. He Doeg HaAdomi notes that David happened to be in Nov Irak Ha'anim, and this leads to ultimately to Doeg being the perpetrator of the massacre of all the Kohanim who are the safekeepers of what the remains of the Mishkan are after its destruction in the times of Eli. So this is a very terrible thing that all started with Rechilos. Now, what happens if I'm telling over something which is negative, but it really is true, it really actually happened, the person did this. So that is what's called Lashon Hara. Wait a second, how is this different to Rechilos? Meaning, is this a separate thing? So the Kitzur says, no, Lashon Hara is actually a subset of Rechilos. The Torah's primary prohibition is Lo Yaseleh Rachil, and a subset is negative true conveying of gossip as well. The Chofetz Chaim, in his introduction to his Sefer Chofetz Chaim, in his magnum opus, makes the observation that there are many transgressions from the Torah that a person can possibly transgress when telling Lashon Hara or Rechilos, and he goes through all of those as well. But the Lashon Hara per se is a subset according to the Kitzur. Now, sixth question, I know it is not allowed, but what if somebody repeats over something negative about somebody which is false? So that person is worse than a person who says Lashon Hara. They are called a Moitzi Shemra, a person who spreads a false name or a bad name. And this is a worse punishment than even a Lashon Hara person who's saying what's true but negative. What is the worst of all of these? That is called the Baal Lashon Hara, a person whose currency throughout their life is speaking Lashon Hara. They're peddling facts all the time. And the pasuk says about such a person, Yachreis Hashem kosif sech alakosh lason medaber es gedolos. Hashem will cut down such people. So just to summarize, there are four different levels that the Kitzur has enumerated. There's a rachil, a person who just talks about what other people do, even if it's not negative, just giving over what happened all the time, just the local gossip. Then there's the person who is a Lashon Hara, speaks bad about other people, even though it's true. Then the person who speaks bad about people when it's not true, that's the Motzi Shemra. Then there's the Baal Lashon Hara, who just spends the entire life talking about people all the time. And that's the worst of all these levels. Now, what if I don't speak Lashon Hara, but I was being told it? So, and this is usually the way this works. And so people are often the recipient of Lashon Hara, not the giver of Lashon Hara. So the Kitzur points out that it is worse than even saying it, because if it's believed, meaning you can't just leave the table necessarily, you should, but if you can't, then in such circumstances, one is if one believes it, one is enabling and one is giving currency to those who are negative people who are telling gossip, and that's why it allows to spread. Just as an example, you know, when Napster was one of the original sites that was distributing digital songs in the digital form when the internet was just coming up, it was done generally illegally, and people used it. The reason why it stayed in business until it was sued and brought down by the media companies was because millions and millions of people thought it doesn't really matter if I just download a little song, and you know, it doesn't really matter. It's only digital. It's only just I don't have to get the CD, the VHS, the record, whatever the tape that I could have had it on. It's all right. And millions and millions of people thought that their little actions didn't matter, and it did. And that's what the kids are saying, is your little action of listening to Lashon Hara is giving currency to a society which will ultimately value speaking about other people, which is essentially like entire media stations are based on this, and entire podcasts are based on this, and this is what the media is based on, but that's not a Jewish value, and receiving it is allowing that to exist as well. What if I didn't say anything negative, but I just said a slightly ambiguous statement? The Gemara gives the example of this, is that somebody says, where can I find food? And you say, there's house. In John, there's this fire in John's house. So in that case, when you say there's fire in John's house, it's kind of like an ambiguous statement. It could mean they got food there. It could mean they like to eat food all the time. It could mean there's like anger. It's an ambiguous statement. So that is a problem. That is a problem as well. What happens? And that's what's called avak lashon hara, the dust of lashon hara leading to it as well. What happens if I compliment somebody and I say, you know, this person is so amazing, such a great person, just accomplished, such a really wonderful person. But you say it in the presence of people you know have beef with them, they don't really like them. So this is a problem. This is called Avak Lashon Hara. This is the dust of Lashon Hara. It causes those, it's inevitably the conversation will turn to, but wait a second, you know, they really, and then you've undermined everything. The Mishnah, the Pasuk in Mishnah tells us, Mavarech Rele'eu B'kol Godol, person who blesses his friend in a loud voice, B'boiker Hashkem Klala Techoshev Loi. In the morning, it's going to ultimately turn into a curse to them. What happens if I avoid talking about Zoni? I'm like, oh, well, you know, let me talk about John. I really shouldn't speak about John right now. So in that case, if you do it in an explicit way, then it obviously means that there's something negative and it'll pique the interest of others. That's also avak lashon hara as well. What happens if it's a joke? So the truth is that many a true thing said in jest, says Shakespeare, and it's true, and we've often been the brunt of jokes, and we realize that they aren't so much of a joke, they're actually intended to needle, and that is also called Lashon Hara as well. What if I just wasn't aware that it was negative? So obviously one can claim innocence, but in many cases, if a person really thinks about what they're doing, they do know. And one has to be very careful. Pretending to be innocent can't put back together people's marriages, careers, and reputations once you've destroyed it because of your innocence. That's why at the end of the pasuk of Lo Yizalech Rochel Ba'amecha, it says, Ani Hashem, I'm God. I understand what's going on inside of you. You can give all the excuses you can to a human court, but I'll take care of it. Question 14. What if it is told not in the presence of the object of the Lashon Hara? That's the Lashon Hara. What happens if it's not negative about the him or her? It's just hearing this information when it comes back to them will intimidate them. Still called Zed Lashon Hara. Look, it's getting very difficult to speak now. So what if it's already public information? There's a notion which is called Ba'a Beit Lasa in the front of three people, that if information has been made known in front of three people, we assume that it is public information and therefore can be repeated as well. Should we know that the Chavetz Chaim in the second parak of Chavetz Chaim has many conditions which apply to this, so it's not so simple just doing this offhand, and it cannot be done with the intent of spreading the information further. But so there is such a dispensation of public information, but it has to be studied carefully because there's many conditions to it as well. And this is very important today, especially today through social media, when one can destroy others, their careers and their relationships in the matter of one click or forward. It's important to take this into consideration. Last question, this number 17, is how does one avoid Lashon Hara? So the Kisra says, if one is a learned person, learn Torah, use one's mouth for that. If one is not learned, humble oneself. And then we'll not come to Lashon Hara as well. We're going to look at one more concept today, and that's the concept of revenge. And we're going to look at this through the prism of three basic questions. The Torah tells us, "Lo'isikom ve'lo'isitar es b'nei amecha," that you are not allowed to take revenge or bear a grudge against the people of your nation. So a few basic questions in trying to appreciate and understand this. Number one is, what is the difference between revenge and bearing a grudge? This is one of the most famous Rashi's in the Torah, which is quoting the Gemara in Yoma, which describes that revenge is where a person comes over to you and says, can I borrow your axe? You ask another person, can I borrow your axe? And they say no. Then the next time they come over, they say, oh, would you mind if I can borrow your axe? And you say, no, not at all. You didn't let me, so I'm not going to let you. That's called revenge. Bearing a grudge is where you ask somebody else, can I borrow your axe? And they say no. And the next day they come to you and ask you, can I borrow your lawnmower? And you say, well, I'm going to be better than you, and I'm going to give you the lawnmower because I'm a better person. That's called bearing a grudge. You're holding it inside of you, and you're expressing it when you're waiting for that opportunity to show them that you are better than them. Now, what if I'm correct in my assertion that they wronged me? So, of course, you're correct. Most of the time, you are correct when you're taking revenge and bearing a grudge. That's not the point. So, first thing he says is being correct is not the way to be in life. You know, the midas sadam is sheli sheli v'shalcha shalcha. It's exactly as it should be. That's not the way to live life. And one of the reasons for that is because if we live life like that, then we fall very short when it comes to God. There's so many things. If Hashem wants to open up our file and do an audit, God forbid. That's terrifying, right? So you want to live such a life and they expect God's going to give you a little slack? That's not the way to live things. You've got to give people slack. People are humans. And human beings have many, many frailties and many, many mistakes. You've got to give them that space. Also, the Sefer HaChinuch points out when looking at these mitzvahs that you have to understand there's a difference or separation between action and outcome, which means that it may be true that this person is going to be held liable for the terrible thing they may have done to you. However, what happened to you was what you deserved, independent of them. They happened to be the messenger. So God's going to open up their file and deal with why they did that to you. But why you got that was actually not in their control as well. So the action is something they're held accountable for. The outcome is something that came from Hashem, which means if you can bifurcate the two and say that I must have received this because I deserve this, I am very displeased with the messenger, but the messenger was really just the person who stepped in, and he'll have to deal with Hashem for that. But this is ultimately what I deserved. Then one sees things very differently as well. And this is obviously a very, very strong, a very hard mountain to climb. But this is in truth how this works as well. Finally, last question. But I have a feeling, I really have a feeling I need to show them that they were wrong. So what should I do in this case? I can't take revenge. I can't withhold my axe from borrowing, lending it to them. But so what am I allowed to do? Says the kids, so the greatest revenge is to become a better person and show that it doesn't matter, because nothing will infuriate a person more. Is trying to bring you down, then you're ignoring it and actually becoming more cheerful, more powerful, and you're in control. If you get into the ring with them, they have achieved exactly what they wanted, which is irritating, aggravating you. And if you're able to control yourself, then you have sidestepped that, and ultimately that is the greatest revenge. Something to bear in mind, it's about being in control of life, not letting others to control the narrative in our lives, but being in control of the narrative of our lives, being in control of the way that we live the lives that we live. With this, we conclude. Have a wonderful and meaningful day.